Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16.
Matthew 16, and we'll begin reading the Lamb of God.
Begin reading with verse 21.
From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. I want to talk to you about no this morning. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here and for each one that's come. Thank you for the first-time visitors we have today, and we ask that you would bless them heaps. We pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word this morning. We pray for prayer requests that were mentioned in the bulletin that you would undertake for those. Pray for those prayer requests that are on our hearts, that you would work in those, and may we praise you, and may we focus our heart's attention on you every day. Pray for churches around the world, the gospel's being preached, that souls would be saved and your folks edified. And Father, I pray that you give our government your wisdom and strength as they continue to guide us through this COVID event. Pray for other countries that are being affected severely by the COVID as well. I ask that you would provide your solution and your way through this, and help us, Lord, to be patient and just to trust you. Help us to do the right thing, and pray that you'd help us to be about your business, not to just be slack, but help us to follow you. Thank you for your faithfulness, and we pray you'd bless our time together today in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to talk to you about no, and you know, it's only, what, two letters long. It's only two letters long. But sometimes it's one of the hardest words to say. Now, our kids, it's one of the first words they learn. Why? Because they hear it so much. No, no. No, or lots of times anyway. In fact, we sometimes struggle so much that someone put 9 tips up saying of how to say no to your child. Usually when we think of no, though, when we think of saying no to someone, we think of someone who has the right. If someone puts no speeding, that sign, then you would assume that that person has the right, the responsibility or ability or authority to say no. I wouldn't probably go up to someone else's child, unless they were damaging something here at church, and say, if they were going to get two lollies instead of one, I wouldn't say, stop that. Just have one lolly. No. That's up to the parents. You know, that's their job. I don't have that authority to say no. Whereas the parent, does have that authority and that ability. When I was a kid, and I say a kid, I was probably, still in my teens, but probably just, the Reagan administration in the States came up with a slogan, to fight drugs, just say no. And that was what they were to do. They were to just say no to drugs. And, our memory verse this week is this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself or say no to himself and take up his cross and follow me. So he was supposed to say no. And how good are you at saying no? How good are you at saying no? I read one history. One brother put his brother had gone against him in war, and so or had risen up in rebellion against him, and he was the leader. And this brother, he couldn't say no to food, so he just got bigger and bigger. And when the guy took his kingdom over, he put this fella in a room and built the walls, and he put the door, he put just a normal size door, but he said to his brother, you can leave. You're really not a prisoner, but you can leave when you can get out the door. And so, but older brother knew something. He knew that younger brother didn't have the ability to say no to himself. So, he never did leave while older brother was living. In fact, they had to, older brother got killed, and they basically just tore the wall out so they could get him out. But older brother knew that he would not say no to himself enough to where he could lose enough weight to get through the door. Well, we need to learn to say no. Now, first, just a few things I want you to notice about saying no. First of all, sometimes God says no. Sometimes the Lord says no. And these are wonderful no's. Revelation 21:4, Revelation 21:4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So God shall wipe away all tears, there'll be no more death. And isn't that wonderful that one day the Lord in heaven, we will have a place that the Lord says no death, no pain, no sin, no ungodly thing in here. So the Lord, one day, there'll be no more of that stuff. And then in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the idea of that is that if you know Christ is your Savior, yes, we sin and we need to confess that, but we don't have to worry about experiencing the condemnation of God, Him saying to us, depart from me, I never knew you, into eternal damnation. We don't have to worry about that. He says that if we're in Christ, there is no condemnation. And I hope this morning that that describes you, that you have that relationship with God today. And then Romans 8:38 and 39, there's lots of knots. For he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, no life, nothing in life, no angel, no principalities, no powers, no things present, no things to come, no anything in the heavens, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So nothing, no nothing. Do you agree with that? Do you understand that His love is able to keep you right now? And that nothing that is happening in life, no nothing that is happening in life separates you from that love. And so we could have looked at Hebrews 13:5 that talks about that He will never leave us nor forsake us. But it goes along with that. His love, we will not be separated from Him. So first thing I want you to notice this morning is that sometimes God says no, and in a wonderful way. And then sometimes God says no to us. Sometimes God says no to us. And I need us to get this morning, because sometimes we think, you know, that if we follow Christ, if we follow the Lord, then some way or somehow we will, everything always work out. It's like some magic potion that, okay, I follow God now. And if I follow God, He's gonna do exactly what I want. He's always gonna answer the prayer request like I think He should. And sometimes God says no, even when we don't want Him to. Luke 21, it says, "And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast." And this is speaking of the Lord. You remember that night in which He was betrayed and then crucified the next morning? It says, "And He kneeled down, saying, Father, if Thou wilt, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." Now, although it's not in there, expressly, that what's Jesus said? He says, "Is there any other way that I can pay for the sins of mankind except dying on the cross? I want to do that. Is there any other way, Father? If there's any other way I can pay for everyone's sins besides dying on the cross, I want to do that." And He says, "What?" The understood answer is, "No, there's not. No. Okay, I'll do it your way. Not my will, but Thine be done." So Jesus did the Father's will. In 2 Corinthians, Paul understood that God doesn't always answer prayer requests like we think He should, or do what we want Him to do. He gives us no, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times. "I prayed three times," He says, "that He might depart from me. And He said unto me," what? "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Do you ever pray a prayer? Well, let me ask you, what was the understood answer in the passage? The understood answer is, "Lord, will you please?" And He just says, "No, my grace is sufficient for thee." Have you ever prayed a prayer request that you wanted the Lord to answer in a certain way, and He did not? Are there situations in life right now that the Lord is allowing you to face that you would rather the Lord do it one way, and you got it mapped out? "Lord, if You do it this way, everything's going to work out just like I have it planned here." But then He says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest on me." One writer said this, "I am astonished that in the light, of the clear biblical record, anyone would have the audacity to suggest that it is wrong for the afflicted in body or soul to couch their prayers for deliverance in terms of, if it be thy will." We are told when afflictions come, God always healing. He has nothing to do with suffering, and that all that we must do is claim the answer we seek by faith. We are exhorted to claim God's yes before He speaks it. Now, we don't get that here. You don't get that here, but lots of times that's what people say. Just pray. Pray sincerely enough, and God will give you everything, anything that you want. Away with such distortions of biblical faith. They are conceived in the mind of the tempter who would seduce us into exchanging faith for magic. No amount of pious verbiage can transform such falsehood into sound doctrine. We must accept the fact that God sometimes says no. Sometimes He calls us to suffer and die, even when we want to claim the contrary. So there's going to be times where the Lord does not answer our prayer requests like we think He should. And then, just another observation. Without God's help, saying no is not enough. Without God's help, saying no is not enough. Now, Brother Rod did our Bible reading for us in Romans 7, and some of the verses say, "For that which I do, I allow not." And the idea is, you know, the things that I do, those are the things that I'm not supposed to be doing. It seems like every time I have a rule that says I don't want to do this, I don't want to do it, that's what I do anyway. I sin. And if I am supposed to do it, I don't do it. If I'm not supposed to do it, I do it. And Paul says, you know, I have this for what I would, for the things I would, I don't do. I wish I could, but I don't. But what I hate, that do I. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Why do we sin? Why do we sin? Well, yeah, it is a choice. I agree. Yeah, okay. We make a choice. But then also we have that sin nature within us. And it's not that we can just say, well, God, you can't hold me accountable. I just have a sin nature. We still allow that sin nature to rule over us. And without God's help, we are going to give in to our sinful hearts. We are going to give in. And Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Paul understood that he was a sinful person. "For to will is present with me, I have a desire to do the right thing, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." I've got to want to. He says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that do I." So what is the cure? It's not just saying, no, 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 I will not, I will not, I will not. What's the key? It's the gospel. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Jesus Christ is able to help us. Jesus Christ is able to give us the victory over our sinful hearts. And our victory doesn't come just through saying no, but understanding that Jesus Christ our Lord, He's the one we serve. We follow Him. He died so that we could die to our sins. God gives us the help. In 1 Corinthians, we've been looking at the fact that living for God, it's spiritual. It is something that the Spirit enables us to do. And then saying no to yourself should not be confused with having a relationship with God.
Luke 18:11-12, Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all. And really, in this man's prayer, you could just see him just sort of smug in his prayer. I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. And this man was just full of himself. But he didn't have a relationship with God. Colossians 2:21 talks about the fact that these guys, they knew the right things to do. They knew how to say no to themselves, but they still didn't have a relationship with God.
Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using? Just because you don't touch, just because you don't taste, just because you don't do the things that others do, that does not mean you have a right relationship with God. In Matthew 5:6-7, when the Lord gave the Sermon on the Mount, in part of that, he said, some of you guys will come to me one day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done these things? Have we not? We've done all these things, and we, but he said, depart from me. I never knew you. You didn't have a relationship. So just going by a bunch of do's and don'ts, that does not mean that you have a relationship with God. And then sometimes saying no may lead to pride in self. The Pharisee that was so proud of the things that he said and the things he had done, the things he wasn't doing. But you know, sometimes when we're saying no, when we won't participate in such and such thing or others that we know do, it has an ability to make us to be proud. Paul puts it like this, let no man beguile you of your reward. Let no man trick you out of your reward in a voluntary humility, a fake humility, and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Taste not, touch not, taste not, handle not, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and in neglecting of the body, nor in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You know, I know of some religions, they will not celebrate birthdays. They don't celebrate Christmas. And their rites, and you know what? Anyone can celebrate what they want to and what they don't to. But when we have all this rules of this we do, this we don't, we don't, we don't, we don't, it can lead us to think we're above others. In my hometown, when I was growing up, raising tobacco was a major crop. They didn't really know the dangers of it back then as much as they do now. But still, my pastor, he said this, that some people have the attitude, I don't smoke, I don't chew. There's chewing tobacco in the States where you put it in your mouth and you chew. I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't hang with those that do. And people that are like that, they put their nose up toward anybody that smoked or chewed, and
And I'm not saying that those things are right, but to have the attitude of prayer because we're saying no to those, a pride, because we're saying no to those things, isn't right either. And then, just very quickly, saying no should be told to our children as needed. Our children, they need to be told no. They need to be told yes sometimes. They need to be told that we love them and encouraged when they do right. But our children need to be told no. And if you don't couch it in the word of no, that seems like a very small little word. It's a nice little word. But if you can't bring yourself to say no, it needs to be said some way. But we need to tell our children no. I've always loved or been amazed at this in 1 Kings. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And notice what it says. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" Basically, dad had not said what? No. Don't do that. No. Moms, dads, we have the responsibility to tell our children no. Because just like in this passage, we all have a tendency to exalt ourselves. We all, especially our kids, they're just going by what they see. And so we need to be willing to say no. And sometimes it takes great strength, but we need to be, among other things, be willing to tell them no. Just saying no should be practiced by me when tempted to sin by others. I should be willing to say no when my friends, my workmates, when my family tempt me to do the wrong thing. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And the idea is that if sinners entice thee, they're saying, you know, have an open mind. Be willing to explore. Be willing to do new things. You're just stuck in a rut. "My son, if sinners entice thee." And really, it's amazing. You read these verses, how many different ways what they use to entice. First of all, they use the words, you know, you're missing out. You're not getting everything that you could. They're saying, if they say, "Come with us," you're going to be part of the group. You're going to do something that's fun. Let us lurk privately. It's going to be an adventure. And then they say, "We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in lot among us. Let us all have one purse." We need to be able to say no when our friends, our family, our workmates, whomever, entice us to do the wrong thing. You know, that is the thing. I wouldn't do this, but you guys, when you're at home, when you're at work, at school, or whatever, you know, I'm not beside you. As your pastor, I'm not beside you saying, "Okay, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't do that." Don't you do what they said for you to do? We have to do that ourselves.
that's something that the Lord entrusts each one of us to do. As our kids get older, we have to trust it with them that they're going to do the right thing, that they're going to make choices that are right.
It should be practiced by me when tempted by others to sin.
It should be practiced by me when tempted by myself to sin. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I need to be willing to say no to myself. We need to be willing to say no to ourselves. And in doing that, you're not just, let me just,
when we deny ourselves, we deny ourselves, and then what do? We take up our cross. So we do something. It's not just a matter of stopping everything. It's a matter of replacing the old habit of what we were doing with a different habit. And so it's not just putting off. It's putting on as well. So when we deny ourselves, we put on a different habit as well.
So what kind of things would the Lord be speaking to you about saying no to yourself? And then it should be practiced in my thought life. It should be practiced in my thought life. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And folks, you know what? Not every thought that you have is a wonderful thought for you to be having. In fact, there are thoughts that run through your head that you ought to just bring into the captivity of Christ and say, you know what? I'm not thinking on that one anymore. That's not a good pathway for me to be thinking. No, I'm not thinking that. And so, it's a matter of, because really, Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Here you are, you're having these, you know, someone says something to you, says something to you. What do? You can dwell on it. You can keep dwelling on it, dwelling on it, dwelling on it. Or you can decide to say, nope, I'm not going to do that. And then sometimes Satan will send a fiery dart into your thoughts just to see if you will take it and run with it and be that much worse off. So we need to be willing, and really, we need to be willing to say no to those kind of thoughts. So just say no. Lots of things we need to say no to. Sometimes we need to remember that God says no. He says no to us. Sometimes saying no is not enough. We need Christ's help. Saying no to yourself should not be confused with having a relationship with God. We need to abstain from the pride. But let me ask you, are you saying no when you need to say no? Man, I hope that this week's message, I realize there's a few points there, but I hope this week's message will encourage you to be willing to say no. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a moment this morning. Let me ask you something. Is there an area in your life where the Lord said to you, you know what, you need to be saying no in this area. You need to be saying no in this area. Are there areas of our lives that we're saying no to and we're letting arrogance, pride, come in and control us? Are we saying no to ourselves as we should? What are you willing to do about whatever the Lord's spoken to you about this morning? Father, thank you for your word, and I thank you that there are some things that in heaven we'll see no more, no death, no pain, no sickness, no crying. Father, you also say no to us here sometimes. We don't have a perfect plan. You do. Father, help us to be willing to say no to others as we need to, whether it's family or friends or ourselves. Help us, Lord, to watch our thought lives. Lord, may we be about your business this week, and may we put into practice whatever you've spoken to us about today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.